that's tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden era. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, comedy from The Jimmy Durante Show, later in the hour with special guest Lucille Ball. But right now, an episode of The Bob Hope Show, heard on NBC on March 14th, 1950. Comedian Fred Allen is special guest.
Makers of Lux Toilet Soap, the Screen Star's own beauty soap, Spry, and other fine products bring you The Bob Hope Show. Yes, transcribed from New York City, it's The Bob Hope Show with Doris Day, Jack Kirkwood, Irene Ryan, yours truly, Hi Everback, Les Brown and his band of renown, our special guest, Fred Allen. And here he is, Bob Hope!
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. How do you do? This is Bob, finishing his second week at the Paramount Hope. Telling you the returns at the box office were fat, I expected to dine at the Stork Club like an aristocrat, but the income tax man came with a bat and held out his hat. Tell me, which way is the automat? Yes, sir, I've been at the Paramount 2 weeks now, doing 6 shows a day. In fact, I've been in that hot spotlight so long, the Wilson Ham Company comes over every hour to base me. Has been real wonderful. I'm living at the Waldorf, you know. I'm not living, I'm stopping there for my stationery. I'm living at the Mills Hotel. But it's been great here in New York. After tonight, I go on tour again. I'll be in Syracuse the 15th, Cincinnati the 16th, Owensboro, Kentucky the 17th, St. Louis the 18th, Kansas City the 19th, and Denver the 20th. I haven't got a joke here, but the tax department made me throw those in so they can keep track of me. Income tax time. Yes, sir, income tax. That's government talk for put something in the pot, boy. And it's awful the way the government doesn't trust people. I had 3 dates with a blonde cashier at the Paramount Theater. Then I discovered she was Secretary Snyder in a wig. But the new tax forms are very simple. There's only 3 brackets this year. Low, medium, and reach, brother. Out of the income tax office yesterday with Jane Russell. I didn't want him watching my form too closely. Yeah. I tried to help Jane Russell with her income tax, but all I got was a scolding. I don't know what she was so snooty about. It says right on the form, withholding. Gotta be careful, though. She's married to Bob Waterfield, you know, the all-pro football player. And I don't want to get drop-kicked over the Empire State Building. Crosby and his son Gary are having a little trouble with their income tax. They're tossing to decide who will declare who is a dependent. And Sinatra had a lot of trouble with his income tax. The collector disputed one item Frankie had down, living expenses. Sinatra not only mails in his tax return, he rides along in the envelope to argue. And Arthur Godfrey is so loaded, the government doesn't collect from him in the usual way. President Truman just sends Bess over with a market basket. Everybody's afraid they won't have any money left when they die, but Jack Benny discovered a way to take it with him. He had his appendix taken out and a piggy bank put in.
Enlighten a mere man, Doris. What's this new hairstyle you hear so much talk about?
It's a short story, Hi. The close-cropped head is the thing right now, and the girls are wondering whether it's going to last.
Well, we're not going back to the old shingle, Bob, are we?
Oh, heavens no. It can be done any number of ways, just so it's carefully shaped to the head with soft, flat waves. The windblown look is out.
Oh, I see what you mean, Doris. Sleek is the word for it.
Yes, sleek and well-groomed. A girl has to spend more time brushing her hair these days. And more than ever, she has to be sure her complexion is nice.
Well, if it's a lovely Lux complexion, Doris...
She needn't worry. Regular beauty facials with Lux toilet soap give skin just the care it needs to look fresh and appealing.
These beauty facials really work, don't they? So why not see what these gentle Lux soap facials can do for you?
Tonight I heard the wild goose cry, winging north in the lonely sky. Tried to sleep, but it was no use, 'cause I'm a brother to the old wild goose.
Those new Studebakers scare me. Yes, I am, the wild goose boy. No matter where I am or what I'm doing, when I hear the cry of the wild goose, I must follow. I've had romances all over the world. There was Olga in Sweden, Sonia in Russia, Katrina in Holland, Fifi in France, and Sam in England. Boy, was it foggy that night. But I left them all to follow the cry of the wild goose. I remember the day the wild goose lured me to the far north. I was mushing across the frozen wasteland on my dog sled. Get up, Rex. Get up, Yukon. Get up, Whitey. Get up, Prince. Teach you to ad lib. I'm the star here now. Come on, mush. Mush. Oh, I forgot. Wheaties. Thank you, Jack Strongheart, All American Dog. Thank you. Yeah, I traveled all day through the icy wilderness, and at night I came across a lonely igloo with a sign outside, Hudson Bay Trading Post. I knocked on the door, and as it opened, I asked, "Is this the Hudson Bay Trading Post?"
"Yes, step down into it."
"This is the Hudson Bay Trading Post." "That's about all we can do with that, I guess, huh?"
Eskimo custom. When boy and girl meet, must rub noses.
Well, if you insist. What's the matter?
First time ever been so close to nose, so far from man. My name, Nakapua. That Eskimo for flower of the north. What your name?
Robert.
Robert?
Mm.
That not right for you. I give you Eskimo name. I call you Kini Namba Igma Hamak Pulu Tuma Uklu.
Gee, thanks. What does that mean?
Blubber.
Wait a minute now.
Oh, no, get mad. Make yourself at home. Almost time for dinner.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't stay long. I have to leave when I hear the cry of the wild goose.
Oh, no, go yet. Sit down here in igloo. Me like you.
You do? You know what a kiss is, don't you?
Oh, no. Me never been out of front yard.
It's easy. All you have to do is pucker your lips and then... You've never been out of your front yard?
No.
How long ago did Admiral Byrd go through here? Oops, there's the cry of the wild goose. Sounds like Petrillo with a sinus condition. Farewell, Nakapua. I must leave.
Oh, but why do you have to go?
My heart knows what the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. Wild goose, brother goose, which is best? A wandering foot or a heart at rest? Well,
Again, I followed the wild goose. This time, it went south to Savannah, Georgia. And there on the porch of an old plantation, I found romance again. As I stood there on the steps, a lovely southern maiden walked toward me. I could tell she was a true daughter of Dixie.
Are you a southerner? My aunt has forbidden me to speak to anyone but southerners.
Am I a southerner? Will chip my chitlins and hock my ham. Ma'am, I'm Robert Beauregard Hope.
I just adore the little old way you say those little old things, you little old, little old.
Anyone for Saratan?
Somebody calling me.
Oh, Robert, it's my auntie. She must be here to chaperone me.
Doorbell, I see we have company.
Yes, auntie. This is Robert Beauregard Hope. Robert, this is antihistamine.
Antihistamine? How'd you all get a name like that?
Mother was expecting a cold.
Gesundheit.
I'm here to chaperone y'all, so I'll just sit here with my knitting. And you two little old darlings can go ahead as if I'm not even here.
Oh, that's fine of mine. I'm mighty fine. My...
Mighty mind of you. Antihistamine.
Dorabelle, how about a...
Oh, I'll never forget when I was engaged to Colonel Beaumont, the famous Kentucky colonel.
Oh, really?
Yes, but we had to call the marriage off. We were incompatible.
How come?
Well, he was bow-legged and I was knock-kneed. Every time we danced together, they had to untangle us with a crowbar.
Dorabelle, how about a...
My, that colonel was a romantic one. He used to take me in his arms, hold me close, and whisper in my ear.
Dorabelle, how about a...
Wouldn't you like to hear what he whispered in my ear?
All right, Auntie, I'd like to hear what he whispered in your ear.
So would I. It must have been wonderful. It blew out the fuse on my hearing aid.
Dorabelle, how about it?
Pardon me, I have to go and get some more yarn for my knitting.
Oh, Robert, Auntie's gone at last.
Yeah, Dorabelle, we're alone.
Oh, come here, my little ham hock, sugar pie, corn pone, sweet pea, poke chop, apple dumpling.
I feel like a counter at the farmer's market.
Oh, hug you tight, honey. I'm going to give you a kiss like you've never been kissed before. Come here.
Well, this is what I've been waiting for.
Not yet, you fool. Look, I don't get a chance like this very often. Go bother Artie Shaw. But it was no use. It was the cry of the wild goose. I had to be off again, down life's highway. My heart knows what the wild goose knows, and I must go where the wild goose goes. I'm coming, wild goose, brother goose, which is best, a wandering foot or a heart in rest? The wild goose flies fast, and soon I found myself in sunny Mexico. My search for romance brought me to a little cabaret in Acapulco. It was run by a fabulous character named Dirty Pancho. As I entered the door, he came rushing up.
Buenos dias, boy. Come right in.
Wait a minute. Is your place safe for an American tourist?
Oh, first class, boy.
Tell me, there's one thing I'm curious about. How'd you get the name Dirty Pancho?
Can't hear you. Come a little closer.
Okay.
A little closer.
Okay.
What was your question?
Never mind. I got the answer.
Are you enjoying your visit to Mexico, seeing all the sights?
Yeah, the only thing I haven't seen is a bullfight.
Nothing to them, boy. A guy waves a cape and the bull chases him around and around and around. When that's over, another matador comes out and they start,
Another round?
Oh, you're so kind.
Pancho, I didn't come here to talk to you. I wanted to meet that gorgeous dancing girl you have here, Carmelita.
Carmelita, you have the next dance with the senor.
Oh, come, senor. The music is starting. Arriba! Ole!
Pepsi! Cole!
Ah, you rompa magnifico, senor. I have never seen anyone dance like you south of the border.
I thought I moved my shoulders pretty well, too.
Arriba!
What is your name?
Roberto.
Roberto?
No, not that one. I'm the one from America. Enough of this dancing, Carmelita. Let us go out on the terrace.
I will go on the terrace with you, senor, but we must be careful. Dirty Pancho is my lover, and he is very jealous.
Who cares? You are the most beautiful girl I have ever seen. Soon the wild goose will call, and I will be gone. But before I go, you must kiss me. Aha! Boy! Pancho!
I catch you kissing my Carmelita. I'm going to kill you, you filthy pig.
Pancho's got a gun. He's going to shoot.
Wild Goosey, where are you?
Oh, no, you're not going to get away.
He got me.
Senor, he didn't hit you.
You mean?
Put something in the pot, boy. It's Wild Goose for dinner tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, once upon a time, I was unlucky enough to be out of work on Broadway. Since that time, I've always been willing to help any unemployed actor, and here he is, Fred Allen.
Thank you, everybody, and thank you, Mr. Ho.
Well, it's nice to have you back with us, and man, are you looking great, Fred.
Really?
Where'd you get that tan? Bermuda? Sun Valley? Palm Springs?
No.
Miami Beach?
No, Bob. They just put a sun lamp in the unemployment office.
Well, I'll tell you, you don't have to worry about the unemployment office this week, Fred. I got your check right here.
No, Bob, please. Now, do me a favor. Skip the check. Tear it up.
No, Fred, I insist.
No,
I paid
Bob.
You the last time you were on my show, and I'll pay you this time. You can use the money.
Well, I know that, Bob, but that's what I'm trying to tell you. The last time you paid me, I couldn't collect my unemployment check. I lost... You have no sun lamp on the program. I'm going to have to pale during the half hour.
Look at me much. Well, look, Fred, you were on my show 4 weeks ago back in California. I thought you were going to stay out there.
Me stay in California, Bob?
Yes, you were beginning to look healthy.
Well, I don't know. I still have these bags under my eyes here.
Yes, but now they're full of orange juice. I tell you, we've got a healthful climate out there.
Well, it didn't help me any, Bob. I actually, you may not believe this, I lost weight out there.
No.
Now, you may think I'm rugged at first glance, you know, but when I take off this, Superman tweed, I am so skinny underneath, when I take a bath, I have to starch my ears to keep from going down the drain.
That's what I can't understand, Fred. It's funny. You're skinny, and yet you have a pot.
Well, Bob, every man, as you will learn in later life, every man my age has a pot, Bob.
Yeah, but your cover doesn't fit. What's your... Fred, what have you got against California?
Well, everything out there is so phony, Bob.
Phony, Fred. Don't exaggerate.
Now, it's the
Please,
truth.
I've got to go back. Now, stop this,
I
will
know.
You?
It's not exaggeration. It's the truth, Bob. For example, there aren't any real trees out there at all. The birds haven't got any place to sit down. In California, Bob, if you are tall and wearing a green suit, you have got to keep moving.
Exaggerating.
No, I'm not honest. But look, Gary Cooper stood still too long one day, and a squirrel shoved two acorns up his nose. In the one nostril.
That's quite a tour up Gary Cooper's tour. You know, Fred, you may be right about those trees. I never see any bird's nests out there, come to think of it.
Well, that isn't the reason you don't see any bird's nests, Bob. Jack Benny steals them all.
Jack steals bird's nests?
He puts sideburns on them and uses them for toupees.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, that is not a part that you see in his hair. It's a worm that a careless...
Well,
has a limp part in his hair.
That explains it. I wonder why the last time I saw Jack, his eyebrows were molting.
Oh, they were.
But, gee, Fred, you shouldn't knock him like that. He told me he's known you since he was a kid.
Oh, Jack never was a kid, Bob. Not many people know this, but Benny wasn't born.
Wasn't born?
Oh, no. This is a secret, but it all happened down at the automat. His mother put in a nickel for some bad...
Which one are you working on? No? She's still working on the part in the hair, I think.
I think we... No, Jack wasn't born. It all happened down at the automat. His mother put in a nickel for some Van Camp's pork and beans, and out came Benny playing Love and Bloom on a salami. Well, enough about the Beverly Hills rag mob, Bob.
So you really love it here in New York, don't you?
Yes, Bob, I'm happy. Happy to be back in little old Manhattan.
Well, what have you been doing since you came back? Have you had any television offers?
Frankly, I'm not interested in any offers at the moment, Bob. I just want to relax for a while.
I've been thinking about it, too. It would be nice to do something easy in radio. You know, the kind of a show Arthur Godfrey does.
Arthur Godfrey, you say?
Look, he takes it so easy, Fred. He doesn't even go to the studio to do that show. He broadcasts from his home.
From his home?
Sure. When he's saying, good morning, everybody. I'm glad to see everyone so full of vitality to fight life's battles, he's still in bed.
Well, then, where does that applause come from?
Oh, it just sounds like applause. Godfrey is shaking the wrinkles out of his nightgown.
Well, there's no getting away from it, Bob. There's no escaping it. Arthur has sure struck it rich.
Yeah, what would it be like if I worked like Godfrey?
Oh, don't be silly, Bob.
Wouldn't be very hard. Stand by, Fred, and I'll give you my impression of Arthur Godfrey.
Time again for your Talent Scout show. And here's your genial master of ceremonies, Arthur Hopefree.
Hello there, friends and neighbors. This is your old friend, Arthur Hopefree, with another Talent Scout show. Before we meet our guests, I'd like to tell you that the first 5 seconds of my program is sponsored by Tipton's Tea Bag. The tea bag that really floats around in your cup. There's a reason for that. Inside every tea bag, there's a Chinese girl with an outboard motor. So remember, ask your grocer for genuine Tipton's tea, the tea that has all America drinking coffee. Just a minute. Yes, folks, this is your little boy Arthur coming your way again. But first, I want to tell you my sponsors on tonight's program are Fink's Flea Powder, Comfy Mattresses, Snodgrass's Shampoo, Strong Heart Dog Food, Dutch Boy Paint, Dutch Girl Paint, Bazooka Bubblegum, Humple Digger's Home Permanent. Oh, why go on? Just go out and buy anything.
I'm right here, Mr. Hopefree.
Honey Boy Allen.
It's a real privilege meeting you, Mr. Hopefree.
Oh, thank you.
I listen to your radio program all the time, and I buy them by the carton.
Cigarettes?
No, aspirin.
And what's your name, son?
Well, I'm Alan. You've heard of Victor Moan the Moan, Frankie Lane the Throb, and Jack Smith the Quiver?
Yes.
I am Freddy the Twitch. Put another nickel in and the Nickelodeon. Oh. You clapped me there.
Well, there's nothing unusual about your act, Alan.
Are you kidding, sir? I'll be great for television. I've got a new thing where I act out the song I'm singing.
Act out the song?
Yes. Now, for instance, if I'm singing The Old Master Painter, I draw a picture at the same time. When I sing It's Later Than You Think, I wind the clock. But my greatest number is There's a Bluebird on My Windowsill.
You mean?
I take a bath in a saucer. Are you ready, Mr. Hope?
Hey, I'm ready. Where am I going?
Okay. Well, here goes. All I want is loving you and me.
it. I know what's wrong with your act. You need a harmony singer. I'm a natural-born harmony singer, so I'll team up with you. Let's see what it'll sound like. Hit it.
Put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is loving you and music, music, music.
Say, pardon me, is that your nose, or have I misplaced my pick? Is that your...
The sponsor.
Arthur, you shoot sponsors on your program?
Yeah, I like to thin them out once in a while.
This should happen to me. Oh,
thanks for the memory. Thank you, Fred Allen. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a wonderful 2 weeks at the New York Paramount. The only tough thing about our 2 great weeks at the Paramount, it made us miss the Orange Festival at San Bernardino, California. And, brother, there's a show no Westerner should miss. That's the Orange Festival at San Bernardino, a colorful and thrilling event. Tonight, we board one of United Airlines' DC-6s for shows Wednesday in Syracuse, Thursday in Cincinnati, Friday in Owensburg, Kentucky, that is, Saturday in St. Louis, Sunday in Kansas City, Monday in Denver, and then home to, you should pardon the expression, sunny California. Next Tuesday from Hollywood, our guest will be the bat boy of the Pittsburgh Pirates, the money belt that sings, My Father, Mr. Crosby. Bing Boy will be out from the ether by that time, and that's all for now. And how about it? Is everybody given to the Red Cross? And for the lowdown on Chicago, take a peek at Jack Late and Lee Mortimer's Chicago Confidential. Good night, folks.
Here are Fibber, McGee, and Molly next on NBC.
The Bob Hope Show on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 14th of March, 1950 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now on to an episode of the Jimmy Durante Show with special guest Lucille Ball from October 29th, 1947. The same year she was featured in 2 motion pictures, top billing as well, alongside Boris Karloff, Charles Coburn, and George Saunders in Lourdes, and Her Husband's Affairs in 1947 alongside Franchitone. She would actually reprise that role for radio 2 years after this next broadcast of The Jimmy Durante Show from NBC.
Good health to all from Rexall. From Hollywood, The Jimmy Durante Show.
Ink-a-dink-a-dee. A dink a doo, a dink a dee. Oh, what a tune for you! A dink a dee, a dink a doo.
Yes, it's the Jimmy Durante Show with Arthur Treacher, Candy Candido, Roy Bargy and his orchestra, our Rexall sportscaster Tommy Harmon, yours truly Howard Petrie, and our special guest tonight, Lucille Ball. Brought to you by 10,000 Rexall drugstores, who carry the complete line of top-quality Rexall drug products. And here he is, not a transcription, not a wax reproduction, but the one and only Jimmy Durante in person.
You've got to start off each day with a song. Now, even when things go wrong, you feel better, you even look better. Stop the music, stop the music. And now, as a tribute to our musical orchestra, I'd like to introduce the most important members. First flutist, Joe Petrillo. First clarinetist, Tommy Petrillo. First trombone, Peter Petrillo. I'll bet this is one band that'll be making records next year. Ladies and gentlemen, you're under no obligation to laugh. However, if you don't, we have a brand new audience warming up in the basement.
comedy kidding, folks.
Oh, Schnoz, I see you're sharp as a tack again tonight. Just as you were on the Information Please program the other night. Jimmy, was I impressed.
You're not the only one, Howard. Boy, did I amaze Fetterman and the rest of those experts. Why, the minute I walked in the door, I won a set of Encyclopedia Britannicas.
You did?
Yeah, they couldn't guess what I was. But, Howard, if you think those experts were confusing, just listen to this question they gave me. If a projectile traveling at supersonic speed through the stratosphere reaches its destination in 7 seconds, how long would it take a woodpecker with chapped lips to remove the pimento from a stubborn olive?
Hey, that's some question. Who sent that in?
J.C. Coots from Raccoon Tail, Nebraska. And I'll bet $50 there ain't a guy in the world that can answer it.
I can. The answer is 2 minutes, 35 and 2/3 seconds.
That's the right answer. What's your name?
J.C. Coots, Raccoon Tail, Nebraska.
Trapped again, me and my big mouth. I'd get rid of it, only it's such a handy place to keep my teeth. Come in.
Mr. Durante, the British Embassy has requested me to instruct you concerning protocol at the wedding of Princess Elizabeth. You are attending, aren't you?
Yes, if the cleaners return my knickers in time.
Very well, then. Here's the procedure you are to follow. During the ceremony, you are to stand 2 paces to the left of the Duke of Gloucester, provided Lady Ashley does not attend. In which event, you curtsy to the Marchioness of Sussex, bow to the Duke of Essex, kiss the hand of the Countess of Middlesex, and retreat 2 paces to the left of Lord Lansbury of Worcestershire. Unless Lady Stanhope is standing beside Lord Denning, in which case you recognize rank and fall back 4 paces to the rear of the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Are there any questions?
Yes, one question. If I bring hard-boiled eggs in my lunchbox, will Britain supply the salt?
I bid you good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Good
Jimmy,
day.
Jimmy, are you serious about going to the wedding of Elizabeth and Philip?
Are you Josh and Howard? Why, I've already sent the wedding gift. It's a dozen towels marked His Highness, Her Highness, and RDB.
RDB? What does that mean?
Rub, don't blot. I also sent the prince a personal gift for foggy days. A monocle with a windshield wiper on it. But that is neither fish nor chips. Howard, I'm expecting Lucille Ball at our house for dinner. We're planning to do a movie together. I've always wanted to work with a glamour girl.
Glamour girl? Glamour girl? Did somebody say glamour girl?
Man to lifeboats, men. We've struck a typhoon.
Mr. Durante, don't forgive me for intruding. I'm Lucille Ball's understudy, and she sent me over to rehearse. After all, anything you were going to do with her, you can do with me.
I know Truman wants us to get along with less, but this is ridiculous.
Oh, Mr. Durante, you're so witty. Now, before we start the rehearsal, I should like to test the microphone.
Please do. Please do.
La, 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 la.
Well, you just blew Tehachapi off the network. Would you like to try for Pismo Beach?
You mad wag, you. Now, come on, let's rehearse this scene from the script Lucille has in mind. Oh, this is a wonderful part for you. It gives you a chance to run the gamut of emotions.
A big part for me, huh? All right, let's try it.
Oh, Eustace, so you've come back to me after all the weary months and years of waiting. Oh, you don't know. You don't know how I've missed you, how I've needed you, how I've wanted you. Are you all right, Eustace? Are you, darling? Are you?
Well, I...
No, don't speak. Let me look at you. Oh, Eustace. Did you give me any thought when you were away on your long journeys? Did you miss me? Did you?
Well, I...
No, never mind. Oh, I can see it in your eyes.
Great part I got here. I hope I can remember it.
No! Never get a thought to me! Oh, you're not going to be so monster. I hate you. Oh, darling, I didn't mean that. I could bite my tongue for saying that.
Bite your tongue? You'll have to catch it first.
Oh, darling, kiss me. Kiss me. Oh, it's been so long since I've had a chance to go out and have a fling.
Sorry, I'm busy now. Fling it somewhere else. Besides, I'm already betrothed, which sometimes leads to marriage. Let me tell you about it. Folks, I'm gonna tell you about my gal that I lost. Folks, I'm gonna find her, and no matter the cost. At times I think this little girl is out of this world, which makes my search for her a little inconvenient. But I'll tell you just what I'm gonna do. A description of her I'll give to you. She's a little bit this and a little bit that and a little bit thin and a little bit fat, so send my baby back to me. She's a little bit blonde, a little brunette, a little bit rich, a little bit in debt, and that describes her to a T. What a gal. She's got a little nose that turns up, my nose turns down, and every time we kiss, we lock bumpers. She's a little bit this, a little bit that, and a little bit high and a little bit fat, so bring my baby back to me. You know, the other day I threw a big party to announce our engagement. The big event of the party was the game I introduced, a scavenger hunt. Everybody had to go out and bring back the strangest, most broken-down thing you could find. And it's the last time I'll ever play that game. They brought me back 3 times before they found out I was the host. It's a good thing my girl identified me. I'm so devoted to her. I like her, too. I love her limpid blonde eyes and the one that is blue. Yes, she's a little bit strong, a little bit frail. I've given you every little detail. So bring back my baby to me.
As you know, ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy Durante has invited Lucille Ball to his house for dinner to discuss her new picture, in which Durante plans to play the part of her lover. Her lover. Silly, isn't it? As we look in on him now, he is making frenzied preparations for her arrival, aided and abetted, of course, by Treacher.
Treacher, let's get ready for our guest. This joint needs organizing. Don't you think this house needs a thorough cleaning?
Cleaning is hardly the word. While dusting this morning, I discovered another room.
How nice. I'll convert it into a nursery. My police dog is expecting rookies. But this is no time for trivialities, Treacher. Miss Ball.
Oh, come on, boy, come on.
Let me go back to that.
I will,
please.
I
think I can do a little better.
Right.
But this is no time for trivialities, Treacher.
No.
Miss Ball will be here any minute. Lay out my dinner jacket, my cutaway vest, and reverse my celluloid collar.
Yes, sir.
And, Treacher, when you serve dinner tonight, I want you to look sartorially correct. I'm expecting you will wear a dress shirt.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you're wearing it tonight. However, don't concern yourself. I can always whitewash my chest.
Whitewash your chest? What will you do for shirt studs?
Well, I happen to have 3 very convenient moles.
Treacher, you're a genius. Remind me to reward you with a soggy Tootsie Roll.
How provincial. May I ask, what is the purpose of Miss Ball's visit here tonight?
Since I have the next line, I'll answer that question. Miss Ball wants us to discuss a scenario. She's looking for a handsome and talented leading man.
Oh, how nice of you to have thought of me.
Wait a minute. What makes you think Lucille Ball would prefer you to me?
Well, can I help it if I'm the sophisticated type? Women like a man who has lived.
I've lived?
I mean recently. Besides, you know, to intrigue a woman of Miss Ball's caliber, one must not only be handsome and talented, but also well-dressed, suave, and debonair.
Well, I'm well-dressed, suave, and debonair, ain't I?
Ho, ho, ho. You have had your answer.
Boy, that's gratitude for you, folks. And to think I let the hem down on all my nightgowns so they would fit him. But, Treacher...
All right, what do you want for dinner?
What's this?
It's a cook I hired for the occasion.
For a minute, I thought it was Sadie Hawkins Day and somebody sent us a hawk.
Never mind the smart cracks, hose nose. How do you want your dinner, boiled or fried?
What have you got for dinner?
Nothing.
Boil it. Treacher, I guess we'll be here any minute, and you mean to say there's nothing for dinner? What about that plum duff we had yesterday? Isn't there any left?
No, but I could serve some plain duff.
What's plain duff?
Plain duff is plum duff after you've taken the plum out of the duff and all that's left is the stuff.
Put blues on the end of that and you got a hit song.
That must be Lucille Ball now. Quick, preacher, where's my perfume? Yeah, that's it. Now squirt some on my hair, in my eyebrows, behind my ears, under my nose. That's it. I've laid a perfect trail to my lips. Open the door, preacher. Wait till Lucille Ball gets a whiff of this.
Is somebody cooking cabbage?
Lucille Ball!
In person.
I'm overwhelmed, Lucille. The exuberance of this unctuous occasion and the mere quintessence of your celestial radiance premeditates my bountiful soul with palpitation of grandiosius jocanunity.
Jimmy, if you think that over, I'm sure you'll take it back.
Take it back? Nothing. I had a hard enough time getting rid of it.
Well, don't let me excite you, Jimmy. I'm just like any other blonde.
What do you mean, blonde? Your hair is red.
Red? Please, Jimmy, in Hollywood, we don't say that word.
But step inside the rotunda, Lucille. You've never seen my house before.
Oh, I think it's terrific, Jimmy. And you've already decorated for Halloween. Oh, I love that pumpkin head in the corner with a silly grin.
Please, that's my Uncle Louie looking at the pictures in Esquire.
Well, you do have a swell place here, Jimmy. It's so homey. Oh, that's a lovely motto hanging over the dresser. Did you write it?
Of course, and I crocheted it, too. But my pointed nose, I only needed one needle.
Oh, what poetry. So sentimental. It takes a heap of living to make a house a home. It's a haven to return to wherever you may roam. It's a place of lasting beauty, be you king or be you slave. So whenever you want comfort... Oh, Jimmy, I can't.
Go on, read it.
Scrape your pan with Burma shade.
You know, Lucille, I don't deserve all the glory for that poem. Longfellow pitched in on the last line.
Well, Jimmy, as long as we're comfortable here, maybe we can start talking about the picture we're going to make together.
Marvelous. Why don't we do something like your last picture, Her Husband's Affairs? I can just see myself in one of those political pictures, being elected president and moving into the White House in Los Angeles.
Oh, Jimmy, the White House is 2,000 miles away. You don't know federal law.
You don't know the Los Angeles city limits. This town is so spread out, Beverly Hills is now a town in Iowa.
Jimmy, I'd like to do a part in a picture that's a little different. You know, a character part.
Ah, Lucille, that's what I like about you. You're so versatile.
No, thank you, James. It's people like you that make people like me realize that we should carry the art of Sarah Bernhardt to all the people of the universe and to people wherever there are people.
Folks, you have just heard We the People. Listen, don't tell me you're from Brooklyn.
Of course not, stupid. I'm from the Bronx. And they love me there. Yeah, when the fella saw me in Her Husband's Affairs with Fran Chotone, they awarded me a very great honor.
A great honor?
Yes. They voted me Miss Other End of the Davenport for 1947. And, Jimmy, you know, my family was very refined. I come from a long line of Murphys, Kellys, and O'Toole. But my mother married a Mulligan.
But Mulligan is an Irish stew.
Well, she knew that, but she married him anyway.
Ah, Lucille, you really got it on the ball.
I say hello. May I join you?
Everybody wants to get into the act.
How are you, Mr. Treacher?
Splendid, Miss Ball. By the way, have you seen our library yet?
Oh, yes, and I'm dying to read The Fall and Decline of the Grecian Satellites by Golimio Robles.
I read
but
a
Miss
lot.
Miss Ball, my favorites are Aristotle's Soliloquies and Spinoza's Spheric Dialectics.
I spend
oh,
the time
the
in...
Oh, but the best I ever read were The Anatomy of Melancholia and Anecdotes of an Antiquated Octogenarian.
Did anyone see what Dick Tracy did to Mumbles today?
Well, dinner will be ready in a moment.
Lucille, during dinner, I thought the whole thing over. And I think we ought to make a romantic love story where I play your lover.
How do you feel about me making love to you?
I'm feeling mighty low.
Poor darling, she's choked up with emotion.
You know, Jimmy, I think we should do a psychological murder mystery. I'd rather be the frustrated heroine, and you can be a hard-boiled detective from homicide.
This is stupendous. Why, I'll be another Mark Heckinger.
That's Hellinger.
We're on the air. I'm coming a little late on that line. We must be careful, you know, because many of our listeners are bookies. Go ahead, Lucille. You start the story with one of those dramatic narrations.
Okay, here goes.
Yes, I killed my husband. I killed him because I needed money. Lots of money. I needed $1 million. You see, I wanted to buy a Cadillac from Honest John. But there was a detective, a cold-blooded detective who preyed on my conscience like the plague. Everywhere I turned, his voice rang in my ears.
This is the voice of your conscience.
Go away. I don't speak to strangers.
You can't escape me. You murdered your husband. You murdered your husband. You murdered your husband. There's no laugh there, folks, but it helps you follow the story.
His nagging voice was with me constantly. I was afraid of him because he was clever. Besides being a detective, he wrote mystery novels. Yes, another Edgar Allan Poe. But that first day he came on the case, I saw him coming down the street and his friends called to him.
Hiya, Jimmy.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hi there, Jimmy.
What's new, Jimmy?
Hey, look, it's Jimmy.
Yes, his name was Charlie. When he knocked on the door, I walked from the fourth floor of my mansion down to the front door. Long legs. Then I opened the door, and there he was.
Okay, sister. I'm from the law firm of Zombie, Zombie, and Crawl.
Zombie, Zombie, and Crawl?
Yes. After two zombies, you gotta crawl. Now, look, baby. I know you murdered your husband, and I'm gonna prove it. What's in that room there?
Oh, please don't go in there. It's only my poor old invalid grandmother.
I'll take a look anyway. Pardon me, my dear lady. I can tell by looking at your sweet old face that you had nothing to do with the murder. But I gotta hear it from your own tender lips.
Ah, drop dead!
Poor darling. She was getting a broom ready for Halloween. But there's something suspicious about this case. When we examined the corpse, we found 32 bullet holes in his body, but not one bullet hole in his clothes. How do you account for that?
Must have been an inside job.
A logical deduction. But who is this low character coming over here?
Oh, that's my butler. This is Detective Durante.
How do you do?
I haven't heard a laugh like that since I lost my halter at the YMCA. What's your name, butler?
My name is Lester Chester Sylvester Hettle Nestor Vesta.
Lester Chester Sylvester Van Nestle Hester Festa Hester Sylvester? You know, folks, we have the wealthiest writers in radio. They get paid by the word. Now, you stick around, Lester Chester. I gotta find some clues.
Oh, I can't stand it any longer. I did it. I shot my husband, stabbed him and strangled him and hit him over the head with a club. And I admit it.
Words, words. I'm looking for clues.
Stop! Detective Durante. I won't let her take the blame. I murdered him.
Oh, it's my secret lover, Candido.
And when you see him, you can see why I'm keeping him secret.
Be careful. Be careful. He's a gangster and a cutthroat.
I got my gun on me. Tell me, Candida, how did you become a hoodlum?
Well, I started in high society, drifted
to the middle classes, and wound up
down here in the underworld.
So you confessed that you're the murderer, huh?
Well, we were all in it together. The wife, the butler, and me.
Come on, Lester Chester, let's run for it.
Come back here or I'll shoot. How do you like that? I shot all three of them. sound man must use carbon paper.
What do you know? I'm in heaven.
What do you know? I'm in heaven, too.
What do you know? Low man again.
Friends, here are those foremost Rexall reminders for the week. Remember, 25% of America buys its drug needs in Rexall drugstores. Remember, Rexall is that large and respected family of more than 2,000 different drug products. Remember, you can always depend on any drug product bearing the name Rexall. Remember, Rexall drug products are available in Rexall drugstores everywhere.
To shave, Howard, and I'd like to add, I do my shopping at a Rexall store, buying Rexall drugs, and furthermore, hombre algo, he prefers them too. We buy Rexall. That's all. How do you do?
Folks, in just a moment, we'll switch to Chicago to hear a Rexall sportscast with Tommy Harmon. Meanwhile, from this end, we'll say Rexall for tonight from Arthur Treacher, Roy Bargy, yours truly, Howard Petrie,
and Jimmy Durante, who says thanks to Miss Lucille Ball. You were very sweet to visit us, and next week's folks, our good friend Bing Crosby will be with us on our Rexall show at the same time, same station. Good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
This program was produced and directed by Phil Cohan.
The Jimmy Durante Show on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from October 29th, 1947. And that closes this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levionier. Thanks for listening.